his people, the praises of his people, the praises of his people. Yes, the Lord dwells in the praises of his people, and we've come to glorify his name. Yes, the Lord dwells in the praises of his people, the praises of his people, the praises of his people. Yes, the Lord dwells in the praises of his people. We have come to glorify his name. Yes, the Lord dwells in the praises of his people, the praises of his people, the praises of his people. Yes, the Lord dwells in the praises of his people. We have come. We have come to glorify his name.
Jesus. Thank you.
Praise your holy name.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, yes, it's moments like these I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. It's moments like these I lift up.
I love the Lord tonight, and thankful that He's given me a privilege to come here and worship Him, and to enjoy His Spirit, and enjoy fellowship with His family. We're working on being one with each other, and being one with Him. And seeking that fellowship. Jesus prayed that we would be one with Him and one with the Father as He is as He was with the Father. He wanted us all to be one. He wanted us to seek unity, and He wanted us to experience what He had, what He experienced. And so when Jesus prays for something, I believe it's going to happen. So I know it'll happen. I know it happened down there, but I know He loves us just like He loved the Jews, and just like He loved them. And I know it's going to happen down here. I know we're going to have more. I feel one with Him sometimes. You know, I. Don't you just love when the real deep moves of the Spirit come? And you feel that oneness. You just feel like that He just come down and letting you experience what it's like to be one with Him. And so I appreciate that. And I appreciate the body of Christ and how that we seek to be one with each other and to be compacted and to appreciate all the experiences of life, you know, our trials as well as the good times, and to realize that we have to go through those in order to be compacted. And we know that it takes those things to rubbing shoulders, you know, like the stones in the brook. Wash around in the water and rub up against each other and become smooth. I kind of hate to bring this up a little. I mean, I was watching a Gunsmoke show the other day. What's Matt Dillon's sidekick? What's his? Festus. Something happened, and it's a good wholesome show, and something happened really good, and I can't remember exactly what happened, but he goes, "Doesn't that make you feel all roundy?" And Matt Dillon said, "Roundy?" He said, "Yeah, all smooth, like all the sharp corners are knocked off, and you feel all round." I'm like, "That sounds like a body." Doctor, I'm like, where'd he get that? Roundy, he said, doesn't it make you feel all roundy? I got a kick out of that. But I'm feeling roundy tonight. But, you know, when you're in the river and you feel the Spirit of God and you're, it takes a little bit of bumping around on one another until we get all those sharp edges knocked off. And so I was listening to Brother Durham's Bible study today for last Sunday. I don't get to listen. I don't get to be there because I'm teaching the Sunday school class for the little kids. But I just lost what I was going to say. I'm trying to remember what it was he said. Anyway, I appreciate Brother Durham. And I just love hearing him teach. He's got such a gift. Maybe it'll come to me. I love y'all tonight. I appreciated Sister Elsie's funeral yesterday. I don't know if most of y'all was able to be here, I know. Some of you probably weren't able to, but I appreciate the life that she lived. And it just didn't surprise me, all the people that showed up. Because I remember back when she was healed and came from the hospital and was in church with us. She was in church with us the very next Sunday after Brother Smith went and Brother Durham went and met and prayed for her at the hospital. And there must have been, there wasn't quite this many, but there was a lot. It filled up our little church. It was well over 20 people there. And Sister Nations was there, and I think she's passed away, hasn't she, Sister Nations? She wasn't there last night, yesterday. There was a lady there that looked just like her. It was her sister. Irma Lee. I told her, I said, "You look so much like Sister Nations." She said, "You remember her?" I said, "Yeah, I got to meet her." So, but they are a sweet family. And I know they loved her and going to miss her. We're going to miss her. And Brother Michael, I got to go fishing with her the last time she went fishing. Awesome. She wanted to go.
Still her favorite. Debbie told me when she hugged me by, she said I was her favorite.
Yeah. But I got to go fishing with her. And she loved to go fishing. Now, I know she was suffering, but she was out there fishing now, and she was serious about it. And so she was a sweetheart. And I know, I remember her saying that she felt like we were all angels, and I remember thinking that I felt like she was. She just was so sweet and had such a sweet spirit. And so let's keep them in our prayers. Brother Pryor wanted to wait on taking up prayer requests until the end of the service, but we need to take up the offering, Brother Fisher. And so I'm glad to be here tonight with y'all. And appreciate you. Amen.
appreciate the Lord tonight. Appreciated all these songs. Sister Lynette, I appreciated your songs. And on, my little battery's low, guys. Just gave me a little red light. I'll try it anyway. I didn't bring my tie clip, so I won't be speaking into that tonight for you. I purposed in my heart to pay more attention. But that was funny. I don't care what you say. Hey, man, if it's working, we won't worry about it. I appreciated the song service about lifting up Jesus and lifting his name up, keeping him as a focal point in our life. He's really our true northern star, isn't he? The world, the seamen of the world, years ago used to use I think it's called the azimuth, if I remember right, but I may be wrong, to try to locate the North Star, and that's how they determined a lot of times how they was going. And there's lots of things that happen out upon the sea. If you remember your studies as a child, you remember that they had trade winds that they would hit, and boy, they'd be booking across the ocean, wouldn't they? I mean, just a moving. And then, y'all remember the word doldrums? It's the only time I've ever used that word in my life was in school, but every once in a while in my own life, I think I hit a doldrum. And that's a time that there's no wind, and there's no current, there's not any movement. And oh God, here we sit, just adrift. Is that right? You feel like that? About every Monday. But I appreciate what Brother Mark had to say. All the good things he said there about being one. We can never be one unless we worship as one. We can never truly be one unless we let the Spirit mold us into one and help form us into one of purpose and intent, motive. One character that we all portray a part of, the character of the body of Christ, how elusive is it is at times. And then at other times, how plain in your face it is. I don't have just a whole lot on my mind, but I appreciated the instrumental there. I like those things. It took me a second to catch. It's a catchy tune. I thought, I know that tune. I played every song in the body, I think. And I'm asking, what's that song? But it's I Exalt Thee. It's just such an accompaniment to what the song was, and to help us get our mind. It's not about any one person. It's not about any one's ability, other than just being available. But it's about worshiping the Lord. That's what we're here for. And there's many places in the Bible that I think that as Christian people, the body of Christ, we should be a sharp threshing instrument. There should always be something. I've been learning a new word. I'm going to use it on you. The world calls it progression, but we call it promotion. Something that promotes thought. And there should always be some kind of contrast that promotes thought in us. There's another word I could use there, but see, you wouldn't accept that word because it gets your dander up. So we're going to use the word promote thought. There's places in the Bible that we can become so, and in our life, that we can become so rigid and so many things. It's kind of like the story that we've heard told many, many times about how that the lady was cooking the Thanksgiving dinner and they chopped off the ham and they couldn't figure it. We all know that story. Story number three. Just look it up. No, y'all ever heard that joke? See, that's 21. We gotta get some new material, don't we? We all know these things. I've had people tell me I would trade what I don't know for what I do know, but what I do know is what I know, and it's enough to get me to where I need to go to. And if it can get me from the cradle to the grave, and it can perfect that in me that needs to be perfected to reach a justified life and an overcoming life, then apparently what I don't know isn't enough that's going to make me that much better, is it? Just ponder that one for a second. If you got the goods to go to where you need to go, What else would you need to know? And then there's places in the Bible that challenges us and tells us to go back and redo our first works over and over and over. We got to do these things over and over and over. Sometimes when we hit those doldrums, we hit that spot to where there's no movement and it's just kind of, uh-oh, we're just adrift. And that ship, you know, they threw people overboard. If there was sick and infirmed on the boats, guess what? You was eating too much. We don't know how long this is going to last. So we're going to have to pitch you over with nothing. They threw their horses over, the ones they didn't eat. They threw they started unloading things that were of unnecessary value to keep the boat floating. I don't need that to keep this thing up on top of the ocean. We can drift without this. Okay, maybe we can lighten our load and we can drift a little faster. But nonetheless, there's no current and there's no wind, so you're still just drifting. So they throw over the horses and they throw over their cows and they throw over their corn and they throw over people. Finally, last, the sick and the infirm, they was, a lot of times in history, from what I've read, they was actually some of the first ones to go before the horses, because they was actually coming over here to conquer, so they knew when they got here that they would have to have horses and mounts, because they weren't for sure what was here. So we better take our army with us. Yeah, we got to have transportation when we get there. Wonder what they'd think of what we got nowadays, where we got boats a quarter mile long. We went on the USS Alabama. From the highway, it looked about this big. But as we got to it, I thought, well, that's a pretty good sized boat. When we got in it, and you could get lost in that boat. There's like four levels, and top to bottom and stem to stern. So many levels in that thing. It's amazing that they pack all that in there. But the infirmed, a lot of times, was the things that got pitched over. Things that was eating, but they weren't contributing. I think it's Timothy, isn't it, that tells us that a man is worthy, a man can eat if he works. A man that don't work isn't worthy to eat. See, we say things that if you don't work, you can't eat. But we come in here, we all get to eat. But am I doing my part for working? I don't know, you know. Sometimes I belly up to the table knowing that my hands, they're not been dirty this week. I haven't done anything. Sometimes I know that I've pulled my load today. Things that promote thought in us, here's a thought for you. Let me just go here to a thought. There was a place in the New Testament in Matthew that Jesus mentioned about putting old wine or new wine in old bottles. And then he talked about putting new wine in new bottles. Well, obviously, if you're in here and you've been in here 50 years, you're not a new bottle. But that isn't Jesus' fault. Let's go there if we can. Be Matthew 9. I got me an education on sewing the other day. We might have to get Sister Thompson up to educate us on the art of the sew. I didn't know there was so much to it. She was telling me that she does, I think she called it needlepoint. But then she kept doing this, and I thought she was crocheting. She said, that's something different. And then there's stitch work, and then there's all these other kind of, I don't know all that. I can sew on a button. But here in verse 16, he makes comment, and he says this. No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. So if you had an old garment, in other words, if you took my old suit here and you had a fresh new piece of material and you added into it, it's going to have so much contrast that it's really going to show up. And instead of, it will fill the gap in my jacket, but it's going to make my jacket look worse. It's going to make me look worse. But then Jesus carries the thought further. And he goes, neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break and the wine runneth out. Let's just ponder on that just for a second. It says that you don't put new wine in old bottles. In other words, and we know that in the Bible, wine a lot of times refers to teaching. And an old bottle refers to something that's set in its ways. In Ecclesiastes, it says that if the iron be blunt, then he must put to more strength in order to cleave wood. And so it requires something that promotes thought in the body of Christ in order for us to grow. I was talking to a brother from Wichita, and he said that if you live in modern-day America, you have to reinvent yourself every 7 years if you want to be successful, truly successful in the modern market, because every 7 years, apparently, it's going so fast. It used to not be that way. But every 7 years, the market is so volatile and it's moving at such a pace nowadays that you have to reinvent yourself. In other words, you have to re-educate yourself on something that's going to make you valuable in the modern-day market. Otherwise, you lose your value, and then you're dead-headed in a job that you can't get out of. Now, the only thing that would cause that is the inability to learn. And I don't think that God has taken us to the place as a unit, as an army of people, as a body of Christ, and said, okay, now we're going to deadhead right here. I think He puts people in places and here and there, and puts people in churches and allows them to challenge, if you will, to promote the status quo and the thought of an assembly. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's all in how it's done. Let me get that scripture in Ecclesiastes. And I'll end this on a better note than what it tastes right now. I've been learning to cook. Ecclesiastes 10 and 10. And this is a very good scripture, trust me. It talks about dead flies causing the ointment of the apothecary. And I've lived a lot of this. I've been through some situations in my life, and I could really give a good spin on this set of scriptures, but I want to just deal with this one right now. It says, if the iron be blunt and he doth not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength, but wisdom is profitable to direct. And so, and before that, he also talks about, if you remove his stones. He's dealing with people that work out of a covering. And then he's working it with people that have become stalemated in a theology and in a doctrine, and they refuse to move from that doctrine. Now, I'm not talking about somebody that refuses to move from the truth, because I don't believe that the truth is ever walking backwards. I believe that the truth that Brother Tucker had in his day when he came to Little Rock, actually, I think he started, we found out, in Lebanon, Missouri, is that right? And then he ended up here. I think Brother Foster was here, and then Brother Tucker came, and the church was born here. And most of you are family, kin, relatives, twice removed. Some form of touchment into that work, except for those that came from Brother Smith's work. And God gave him a certain message for a certain day and a certain measure of truth for that time frame. But then Brother Lineker came on the scene behind Brother Tucker and took a lot of the same truths that Brother Tucker gave us, or gave you, I wasn't here with y'all, gave you, and built upon those truths. In other words, he refined that truth just a little more. He didn't disannul it, and he didn't dismiss it or discontinue or even do away with it. He just refined it a little more and made it a little more personal, and he made it a little more to the next level of time frame. And then Brother Smith has come in, and in the last, I think, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, somewhere through here, since 2002, has pretty much been working in here, and then as the senior pastor here for the last 5 years, if I've got my math right. Is that right? 6 years, okay. I forgot we crossed into 2014 a month ago. 6 years. And he hasn't done away with it, but he's advanced it and took it another level and refined it a little more. So it's from, we say these things that it's here little and there little, line upon line, precept upon precept, but whenever we start adding lines upon lines, well, we always look back to this line. And then we worry because we've removed that line. And we think that we're knocking out all those lines when really in our mind, what we're trying to do is advance the work of God to a greater place and a greater capacity. Now all this, if you go back in Ecclesiastes, all that can only be done if we allow the Spirit of God to work in the church. And yes, man can thwart God's plan. He's done it for the last 6,000 years. It's not that hard to do. God tries to move you here, you just don't move there. Simple as that. It's pretty easy, ain't it? So then you get to go through, as Brother Casey used to tell us, you got to go through the knot hole backwards. I ain't never been there. Literally through one. And so then he says this, else the bottles will break and the wine runneth out. Don't you want God to add to you? Don't you ask God, God help me. God give me what I need. But if God tries to give it to me and I can't accept it, is it God's fault or am I just an old wine bottle? Have I just become set and squared down and set down? What's that my grandma used to tell me? Every pot sets on its own bottom. I think everybody heard that? Every pot sets on its own bottom. You know, I don't know what it means. You know, I have to Google that. But I think it means that I'm just going to sit right here and do my own thing. And then he says this, and the wine runs out, and the bottles perish. Oh God, if there's something that I need to accept, if there's something that we need to accept as a church, as a unit, if there's some kind of travesty or tragedy or something that's afflicting my home with my wife, we sit down and we start trying to figure out what's going on. Why the checks ain't coming in the mail. And I'm on the phone with UPS and I'm keeping the wolf at the door and I'm still eating Brother Oates' sandwiches that he brings to me to work every day. And that monkey bread or whatever you made the other day, or the ooey gooey butter cake, about put me in a coma, but it was really good. I do appreciate it. But I told him, I said, you got to watch that. I'm exercising. I'm trying to lose weight, and you're fattening me up. You fattening me up for the keel? I don't know here. But if there's something that's a touch in my home, that's afflicting me, me and my wife get together. And if there's something that we need to adjust, we try to adjust that. And so if there's something that, as a unit, as a church, that we need to adjust. The other day, Jody come to me and she said, can we just go down to the den and pray? I said, okay. So we went down to the den and prayed, didn't we? Everybody is seeking something. Everybody's wanting something. It said, but they put new wine or new teaching into new bottles. Now that is not a new saint. That's what I want to show you. 2 Corinthians, I believe it's the second chapter or something to that effect. No, it's the fourth chapter. It says this, 4:16, it says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And so if I find myself at the age of 44 and 30-something days, March 31st, you know, I'm just not for sure that I wasn't born on April Fool's, to be honest with you. I think they just brought it back. Because I'm really a prankster. Y'all just don't know that side about me. He works with me all day. He knows I'm a big cut up. And I love pranks. I don't like them when they're played on me, though. I like to prank you, and you never know it was me. Then I'm like Jesus just watching you through the lattice work. But I don't tell anybody. But that new bottle, that is you and I. And it is up to you and I to keep this inward man renewed every day. That isn't the job of the minister. If you look back into the work of the minister and what he does, it isn't up to the pastor to keep me encouraged at home. It isn't up to the pastor to keep me encouraged on my job. It's up to me to keep me encouraged in that. And yes, it's tough at times. It'd be easier if I could place blame someplace else. It'd be easier if I could let somebody else do that. If we just, let's promote just a few seconds of thought here. If you look back into the dealing of Esau, or Uzzah, if you look back into him whenever he was, the ark was pulling, Esau, that's how it's said. I found that out from people in a book. Uzzah. Esau. I know. Go figure. Uzzah in Arkansas. But, yes, I can't quit saying it. It's got such a funny little ring to it. It's almost like God was playing a joke with the guy's name. But Esau was so used to being around the ark. See, he had driven the cart that pulled the ark. Now, Esau was not a Levite. Per the Bible, we find out that we can't trace him back to that I know of. Maybe Russ Smith can. I haven't been able to. And Esau was not one of the sons of Konath, which was the only group within the Levitical priesthood group that had the full commission to place and move the ark. And so, as the ark was coming up the hill, coming down the road, and we all think that, you know, it must have shaken, because the Bible does make a reference to that. Am I losing my power? Everybody says, yeah. Back on. And so, as the cart was coming down the road or up the lane or across the hill or whatever it was doing, the Bible says that the oxen stumbled and Esau put his hand to the ark. And God smote him dead for that. Now, that's in Chronicles. If you go over to 1 Samuel, I believe it is, 6:6, it says this. If we can pull that up, it says this. It gives the same literation of the same story. Let me go there and grab it. Joshua judges Ruth. You got it? Nope. Maybe 1 Samuel. Give me just a second here. Yeah, I think it is 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel 6:6, isn't it? No. It's 2:6. Nope. 2 Samuel 6:6. Yes. Thank you. Thought that I was sort of kind of there, but my mind was already shifting gears on me. It says, and they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was in Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark, and David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord of all manner of instruments, made of fir wood, even on harps, and on psalteries, and on timbrels, and on cornets, and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah, put forth his hand to the ark of God, and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. Now let's just jump back over to Chronicles, where that's at in Chronicles. You got it on Chronicles. And Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 13:9, it says, and when they came unto the threshing floor of Chidon, Esau put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. Now, the same word for stumbled and shook is the same Hebrew word, shumet. And that word has the meaning, has several meanings, but one of the meanings of that word is to desist, discontinue, pause, or halt. So, for a thought processes as they came upon that holy place. Now, chidon is a word that means a javelin, a sword, or a dart. Now, we know that in Hebrews that the mount was so holy that if a beast was to step his foot upon that mount, that a dart would strike his heart and kill him dead. Could it be? Because see, the cart is not the ministry. The oxen are the ministry, pulling that load. The ark is the Word of God. It is the symbolic Word of God manifest in a physical form. It is God personified in a physical form because they had an invisible God. They don't have what you and I have. They don't have the Spirit of God working in you like you and I have that. They have never felt that presence like you and I felt it. Don't you appreciate that? As that song came to our hearts today, as Sister Lynette played those songs, and I felt that upbraidness about lifting. Have you noticed that in the past few services that whenever we get our minds girded up and we worship Him and we touch Him and we lift up the name of Jesus, and I exalt these, was a beautiful, whoever picked it out, was a beautiful accompanying song to the band song and to the Sister Lynette song. Sorry, your name slipped me for just a second. And getting His name lifted up. And so whenever they all stumbled and He put His hand to push that, in other words, they halted and they stopped and the Word of God hit a doldrum, so to speak, and it quit moving. There was no movement in the cart. It wasn't about to fall over. It wasn't going to fall over in the mud. God wouldn't dare let that happen. Because then the lid would fall off and all the goodies would fall out of it and everybody would be running around grabbing stuff and looting. Probably not. We would today, okay? But they revered that to such a place. And so, could it be that as those oxen came upon that place, named Chidon, named after the dart, that there became a threshing floor, that they became such a fear, that they halted in their footsteps, and Uzzah just wanting to keep it moving, because he was so accustomed. He had moved it. It had stayed in his father's house. He had kept this thing. He'd walked around it. Now, he hadn't set his coffee cup on there or nothing. I'll tell you a story. Well, it'd be distasteful to tell this today. Next Sunday or maybe next month, I'll tell this story. It's not a dirty joke. It's just distasteful after yesterday. But I will say this. We can become so accustomed to something that we become common with it. And it loses its reverence in my heart. We can become so common with the house of God that it's just a romper room. Now, I'm not rebuking anybody. I'm just trying to encourage us to develop a reverence for God and a respect for the placement of His people, hierarchy, ministry, and so forth, so on, in its order. And since I happen to be a minister, put myself in my place. I have no problem doing that because there's plenty of other people that don't mind doing it either, so I'll just join in with them. Okay? I'll just beat you to the punch, so to speak. Somebody ever tell you all the dirty on you and just say you're right, even though it just takes the wind right out of their sail. You're a low down dirty skunk. Yes, I am. Thank you kindly. I want to say some more stuff to you, but you didn't resist that. Well, it's just easier to go along. You scoundrel. Now, could it be that he was so calm as that thing halted, that he put his hand to that just not out of fear, but just because it's moving, it stops, he takes a step towards it, and boom, he touches it. And if you go back into 2 Samuel, we can go there and read, God just says he killed him for his error. E-R-R-O-R. Error. His typo. He made a mistake. Seems awful severe, don't it? But we find that if that mountain was so holy that God would thrust through an animal who had no earthly clue with a dart, how much more would that ark be? And then you find that his people, later on, 2,000 years later, as Jesus Christ comes on the scene, the true priest of priests, king of kings, leader of leaders, the man that all this represented till now shows up on the scene, and the same people, the same priesthood, still searching for him and pushing for him and working for him and doing everything they could for him. See, I don't mind working with anybody. I just don't like working for somebody. There's a big difference. I can work with you just fine. I can't work for you. You're not paying me. People say, I'm working for Jesus. I want to work with him, because if he's not dealing in something, I don't want to deal in it. If he's not working with this, I don't want to work with it. It's out of order. It's out of time. It's time untimely. David found out something called due order. And so whenever we, could it be that just as they was pushing then, and when he showed up on the scene, in other words, that threshing floor that he was showed up on the scene, the one that was going to epitomize and split down what they said, what they, all that law was from Moses till Christ, all this law, he was going to refine that to a place that all of a sudden that they said, no more. I cannot accept that. And so they killed him. Just as Uzzah put his hand to that. That oxen was going right along till Jesus came. That Levitical priesthood, they was doing their thing. They had no issue with nothing. They had the truth. They had the law. They had all these covenants. And they had a covenant with Christ that they did not fear that he was ever going to change. And they was looking for a Messiah. And then when he finally came, everybody kept saying, are you the son of David? Because they knew that there was a Savior coming. And yet when he showed up and he started to take line upon line, here a little and there a little, faith to faith to faith to faith to more faith, all of a sudden that oxen halted again. And there was people that put their hands to it. And at that time, they got judged. So how are we, 2,000 years later, with a different spirit? He said, I will make a new covenant. In Hebrews, he said, I'll make a new covenant with Israel. A second covenant. Not the first one, but a new covenant with Israel. And I will put my name upon their hearts, and I'll put my laws in their mind. And that's you and I. Well, Lord, I got this right here. You heard me just say a few minutes ago, I won't trade what I know for what I don't know. But if you can take what I know and improve upon it, and you can take what I know and show me that, yes, it's a better step. It is the next step. The next step I take shall be the greatest step of all. And we look for those things. Could it be that we are in a time of doldrum enough that the ministry as a collective unit, as a body of people, that we have entered into a doldrum, so to speak, to where there's no current, there's no wind, there's nothing but just water. It's not rough water. There's not 5-foot white caps, and it's not cresting over, and it's not foaming up its own shame in here, but it's just smooth, quiet ocean. And we're just drifting along. We don't like that. Could that be? And could it be that just as we hit that doldrum, just as the Jews did, and the Bible gives a story that says that they cast in a net and they took out a great draught of fish, but the net break. I know y'all have heard that, ain't that right? B-R-A-K-E, isn't that right? Now, I'm going to use that in a simple term as a break, okay? And it got caught. And it got caught on the Israelites' religion. And it ripped the net, and fish got escaped back into the sea. And so as we just drift along on life's seas right now, three men in the tub. Could it be that we have reached an impasse? Is that right? An impasse? Impasse? Is that how you say it? You English teacher, homeschool English teachers, break it down for me. Who's a good English teacher in here? You are? Oh. I didn't mean that like, are you crazy? No, I just meant, I didn't know you were. time out. Anyway, could it be that we have reached that point? I'm just trying to promote a thought with you. Because that word does break down to stop, desist, halt, discontinue. So God has to have all kinds of people, don't he? And I'm your brother. Your little brother. Your little redheaded stepkid brother. And the work of the oxen there, they were burden bearers. And so David looked back through the Bible and he said, get me the writ and let's get through the scrolls and let's figure out what has gone on with this. Because we killed a man here that didn't need to die. Now we need to know his sin, we need to know his family's sin, we need to know why he died, and we got to figure this out soonly because we can't leave this thing sitting out in the middle of nowhere. And obviously the oxen had issues. And so they get the priest, they read all the Bible, and they get it all figured, or all their scrolls, and they say, okay, we got to put it on the poles, we got to put it on the shoulders of the priest. And so today, there is something that the priests do, the oxen do. We tread corn with blinders on, just stepping, not stepping in you, not stepping on you, intentional. We're just mulching corn. We're just trying to break it down. Okay? We're just trying to find what it breaks down to so we can give it to you to feed you. To promote growth in you, development. That's all it is. And there is something called the burden of the Lord. But in the ministry, there is the burden of the word of the Lord. And if you have a call on your life, and anybody that has a call on their life in this room to the ministry, the word of God is a burden to them. It is. And we face life. And we look at the Bible and we say, oh God, because God has placed this on your back to carry it, to shoulder this burden, to get it to his people, to help them develop into what he wants them to be. We're not the judge, jury, and executioner. We're just the porters. We're just the carriers. Now, let's skip that. Let's get off that. A new wine bottle? Don't you want to be that? And it takes something to develop that. It takes raising your hands when you don't want to raise them. It takes doing the right thing when you really don't want to do it. And you say, well, I've seen you do a lot of wrong things in the 3 years I've known you. Well, hang around a little longer. You'll probably see me do a couple more. I don't profess to be perfect. She is. I'm not. Okay? I don't profess any of that. I profess to be working on it just like you are. And yes, it becomes stale. To say anything other than that would be a lie. And I'm tired of it being stale. But it ain't the man sitting in the chair that makes it stale. It's the man listening. And how do I get this bubbling again? I think God has been talking to us as a collective church over the last few services about just lifting him up. About just praising the name of the Lord. I dare say, I don't even know what time it is. Is it 9 o'clock yet? I didn't bring my watch. I always stopwatch myself, but I didn't do it tonight. It's after 9? 5? Oh my God, okay, I better hurry. I got 300 seconds, y'all. Listen up. It's going to be like a commercial. Sorry. I just couldn't let that pass. The burden of the Lord. I used to pray this as a young man coming up. In the ministry, I worked under a man that I love dearly, and you know, ipso facto, here we are. But, and he gave me my foundation. He gave me everything I have, and he gave me his daughter. I took the best thing he had, every bit of it, and I left. That burned 30 seconds. So, I used to pray that God, this has always been my prayer, God, if you're going to use me to edify your people. I have prayed many a time that God would just take the burden of the word off of my back. I've prayed many times that he would just expel me. That he would just let me go sit down and I'd be a quiet man. For years I prayed that. God, why did you call me to the body of Christ, knowing me the way I am? Why would you do such a thing to everybody around me? We found out yesterday, Sister Elsie touched many lives, didn't we? We say, I didn't know all that. She touched my life. And I got to be with her at her passing. It's a touching thing. It's never easy to watch somebody pass. Watch them expire. I don't know, you know, expire is a better word than die. You know, it's what we learned in the hospitals. It's never easy. It always brings a realization of your life. And it should. Russ Smith gave a message on that just yesterday about the living lay at the heart. It's always been my prayer that God would use me in the ministry. And if he wasn't going to use me, that he would expel me. One or the other. Because I can't live in two places in my mind. I can't have a burden and try to carry it, but not be able to carry it. My mind can't take that. It's just the way I work. And so, ask yourself, what have you prayed for all these years? Have you prayed, God, would you place the burden on me? I used to pray many, many, many a prayer in Fort Smith. Many a prayer. Lord, place the burden of the church on me. Let me feel the weight of that. How many priests did they have that carried that? I'd have to go look that up. Do you have it off the top of your head? I've heard 2, and I've heard 4, and I've heard 40. Okay? I'm not for sure how many there were. Do I? Well, could they carried it like this? I don't know. See, promoting thought already. It took, didn't it? But all these years of your life that you've been living for the last 50 years since Brother Tucker, and he give you that foundation, have you been praying, God, place a burden on me? And you know, a person can go to work at one job and feel a burden for that company, but yet he can go to work at another job and not feel a burden for that company. Now, it's the same man with the same skill set and the same ability, but he don't feel the same burden. Why? Ask yourself, why? I ask myself, why? So, could we all just take a minute? And we're going to close in prayer right now. We got a lot of prayer requests. Brother Smith is flying over the pond. I'm sure he's already arrived. And he's going to be over there for the next couple of weeks. And Sister Smith is going this week, Friday. Want to keep y'all's hand on God, keep his hand on y'all. Keep you safe. Keep you protected. Let you eat some good food. Keep you safe. Bring you back. With smiles and frown. You're getting a vacation. It's So let's remember them. Let's remember the brother. Let's remember Brother Al especially. I'm sure he, while the whole family is close, I'm quite sure what a part he has to bear. I can't imagine. Young Randy Ayers, I mean, he's younger than me. He had to deal with this. How do you cope with that? It's hard to pray for some things. How do you pray for somebody that's going through that? I can't even relate to that. I can relate to a homeless person. I can relate to poor people. I can relate to obese people. I can relate to people who's needing food. I can relate to all kinds of people, but I just can't relate to that one. And so poor Brother Al, he looks like a man that's just completely lost. I can just imagine what I would be like. I have learned to cook, thank God. I'm doing good too. She gripes because my food's so spicy, but I had to show her that men have less taste buds than women. That's a fact. Y'all have like 30,000 taste buds. We got like 10,000. So it tastes twice as much sweetener and spicy stuff. Okay? It worked for a while. She's kind of going against the grain now. But let's remember Brother Al, and of course Gail and Dave and really the whole family, that God would deal with them through this. You know, Sister Fisher? Dylan don't get time to be sick. Welcome to the man's army. I told him before he left, I said, listen, man, when you sign on the dotted line, they own you. Okay? I mean, they tell you everything you can and cannot do and when you can and can't do it. Period. End of question. Get in line. I can't imagine that. You know what? Oh, that would kill me at my age. Would kill me at any age, but it'd be really nasty now for sure. So yes, remember Sister Donna Henderson, and remember Dylan too. He's actually a close friend to my sons, especially Justice, and you know, I fear for him. He told me before he left, he said, Brother Pryor, I love you, and I thank you for all you've ever done for me, helping me. He said, I want you to know I'm willing to lay my life down for you. I said, I ain't asking you to lay your life down for me. If that's what you're going to join for is lay your life down for me, listen, I don't need it. Okay, I'm fine. Just stay here, man. I'll lay mine down for you. How's that? What greater love hath a man than he would lay down his life for his friend? So maybe Dylan's fulfilling Scripture to some extent. Next. All the ones on the board. Sister McGowan. Al Case, for those that know him, and those that don't, would just pray for him anyway. Brother Matthew. Okay. Both your daughters are sick, aren't they? Just the one? I didn't know if twins got the same sickness at the same time or not. Well, that'd be a kicker, wouldn't it? Yes, we'll pray for her. Sister? Keep praying for him. The Lord knows He knows how to pull on him. For sure. We all have special unspoken requests. Brother Maine. Yes. Yes, he has an aortic aneurysm. Anybody don't know what that is? That's the largest blood vessel in your body. If you rupture an aortic aneurysm, you're dead before they can even cut you open. So, and his is inoperable. And it has doubled in size. I talked to him just the other day. Brother and Sister Crow, yes. I'm missing seeing Brother and Sister Crow here. He don't ever say two words to me, but I still miss seeing them in the seat. Brother Daniels, how's it? Can you still get? Can you get your arm up or anything? Okay, remember Brother Daniels that he can regain some of his energy and get that arm back up. So looked better seeing him praise God like this. Anyway, let's remember Brother her husband, God Almighty, Larry Bryant. Let's remember him. Brother Weiniger's not here tonight. See, where's Sister Weiniger? Is he sick? Your husband? He's what? Oh, okay. Okay. I thought maybe you ran off and left them at the house. Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. I'm just... Yeah. Well, I know I was talking to Jody. I said, what day is this? Is this Wednesday? So, up in the air. Let's all just stand up and take these to the Lord in prayer. Consider ourselves dismissed. After you pray for somebody, just take a couple of minutes in your heart and in your mind and just thank the Lord and just exalt Him. And tomorrow, exalt Him a little more. And Sunday, and I'll challenge you this, that if every day, instead of getting down and praying what you want and for what you want, could you just take that same amount of time and just say, I exalt you, Lord. I lift you up, Lord. And let's see what kind of service we can blow this thing out to be Sunday morning. Let's see if we can get this. Let's see if we can get us out of the doldrums. What you say? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Lord, ask you to remember, Lord. Ratliff family, Lord, touch them. Remember Brother Al. Help him this evening, Lord. Oh, God, comfort his mind. Jesus, would you come in and give him a special touch? Let him know, Lord, that his family's lifting him up in prayer, Lord, and all the family, Lord. Oh, God, hallelujah, hallelujah. We love you, Savior. We thank you, Lord. Oh, God, praise your holy name, Lord. Deliver us, Lord. Oh, God, remember Dylan, Lord. Sister Henderson, remember the Crows, Lord. Touch them tonight. Oh, God, touch her with... Oh, God, praise your holy name, Savior. Jesus, 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 we love you, Lord. Oh, God, praise your holy name, Lord. Deliver us, Lord. Oh, God, we lift you up, Lord. We give you, Lord, that place in our life. Lord, help us to hold you there, to keep you, Lord, as the point, the focal point, Lord, of our life and our salvation. Oh, God, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Savior. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord. Amen. Amen. Good night, and the Lord bless you.